Hello, my name is Rianne, and I first started attending the Talking Thinking Dancing Body at the Hop Bop Shop in 2012. I had just started my first year of training at Modus Operandi, and I was very excited to be there. I had applied to be there on a scholarship, and it was a small group around a table in the Hop Bop Shop, and it was the first time I met Justine, and I think the first time I had met Sufe as well. And yeah, because it started concurrently with my training, it has become and is a really core piece of my dance training and of my understanding of so many things in the dance world. And through the years, really, really big monumental learnings have come from those conversations and those relationships. And in recent years, Alexa and I have had the pleasure of inheriting some of the responsibilities of the behind the scenes coordinating and the in the scenes facilitating of conversations, which has been really beautiful for us. And yeah, and the last thing I want to share is just the sweetness of the memories of Justine's son Max being a little baby in those spaces and holding him, and you know, different people holding him during different parts of the conversation, and that him growing up in, you know, different years of the TTDB with Max at different ages, and that experience of holding him and talking to him and playing with him during those conversations is a big part of my body memory. Yeah, that's it. Thanks for listening. Here on the left side of the page, there's an image. It's a screenshot of a Vimeo video. It's titled Butch Morris from Butch Morris, and it's an image of Butch Morris standing in an empty theater. You can see about six rows of empty seats and the staircase aisle behind Butch. Butch Morris is holding a conductor's wand. Is that what they're called? And wearing glasses and a dark gray button-up, oversized button-up shirt with a front pocket and some beige pants. The play sign, like the play symbol, is visible, and where it says that it's at 8 minutes 54 seconds in the video. And someone's finger is visible on the left side. Actually, it's not a finger at all. It's maybe someone else's body, but we can't quite see who it is. And on the right side of the book, at the top, it says March 28th, 2017, Strategies, Part 1. This month's discussion is centered around two case studies. The first is New York City-based dance artist Sarah Wookie's open letter, which details her experience performing for Marina Abramovich and calls out power structures that allow famous artists like Abramovich to abuse the scarcity economy of self-employed dancers. This letter, which first circulated in 2011, is often cited as an instigator into examining the lack of visual art institutions' care for live performers in gallery and museum settings. The second case study is an examination of The Creative Gesture, a 2016 Banff Center residency aimed at mid-career dance artists, and the resulting public discussions after a number of artists left or were sent home from the residency after calling into question its activities, alignments with its publicized purpose. Alongside these slightly arm's-length examples of abuse of power, only one person in our direct community attended the Banff program, and she's not present. The room thrums with the energy of uncomfortable knowing. A local dance company has recently had four of its company members quit in solidarity, citing emotionally unhealthy work environments. The choreographers and some of the dancers are present, and my heart is in my throat as I watch students, teachers, choreographers, dancers, administrators find seats, bringing their bodies to this place of public reckoning once again. I'm reminded of the bravery it takes everyone to show up, to hold the truth of conflict and the possibility of healing. The theater is packed. Some sit on the floor in the center of the circle, and so we make two circles, above and below, inside and outside. As a way of wrangling the multitude of experiences, those explicitly named in the case studies and those implicitly held in the room and attempting to move with them, we begin brainstorming a list of possible actions. These actions suggest what can be offered from the hypothetical institution, artist, and bystander when a conflict appears. Suggestions rise up from the floor, are tossed into the circle from the seats, from shaky voices and steady ones. Souffé reminds us that, given how power can move through us, it's important to remember that we have the potential to be in any of these three positions at different times. Next page. On things institutions could consider when beginning a relationship. This is a list. Working conditions. Context and environment. Difficulties you might encounter in this project. Clear history of the institution. Transparency around the faculty. What we don't know. That's my cat. The contradictions about the institution. Time given to the artist to reflect on the institution. The institution itself is the source of structural contradiction. It could resolve within itself without externalizing. Mirna Zagar suggests we reframe the question, what would we like to see from institutions? An institution as a ship, not a small boat. It cannot turn on a dime. Scheduled check-in before conflict even arises. There is difficulty in being able to see what everyone's expectations are. The process of managing versus original responsibilities challenge is matching expectations with resources. On being a witness. Your inactive bystanderness is problematic. Silence is violence. A person nominated every day to remind about standards, breaks, it rotates every day, it works. I can say no as a witness by showing discomfort in my body. I don't have the ability to have language other than body language sometimes. On things artists could move towards. Demand to be treated like a human being. Turn the discomfort into words, not necessarily in the moment, but later. Justine, we need to call into question the model we're upholding that's not allowing the time for all the pieces to be cool. What's the model? Does this model actually work for us? Do your research. Institutions, in its best intention form, is there to caretake artists. With a large institutional body, the response can't necessarily be immediate, and we are all caught up in this neoliberal quagmire of production. It's not in the best interests of the institution to know thyself. Usually these situations are stacked against the artist. Implicit versus explicit permission. Explicit permission comes from the individual. Implicit permission comes from the model. Continual negotiation, checking in. On the next page, there's an image of Hannah Black. Okay, next page. There's an image of a person standing in a dry forest. This person has short black hair and is wearing a mask that covers their nose and mouth. A black button-up short sleeve shirt. They have light skin, and there's a red rectangle framing their face in the upper half of the photo. And branches of the trees are obscuring their face and body. And in their hands, they're holding some of the sticks from the dry trees. The text reads, Witch Hunt, Hannah Black. As Sylvia Federici notes in passing in Caliban and the Witch, her account of the historical entanglements of capitalism, patriarchy, and white supremacy, gossip was originally a word for the friendship of women before it took on an uglier meaning. Next page, from elsewhere. As with most new creative endeavors, the mid-career artist's residency was inaugurated in a spirit of openness and possibility. In an email sent to the participants ahead of their arrival at the BAMF Center, Lax summarized the program as, quote, a chance for a pause or a stop in the stream of activities that make up our dance-related lives. He expressed his hope that it would be a, quote, source for ideas and for transitional motivations. The email laid out a list of topics for inquiry, some of which would prove to be prophetic. Art for art's sake versus art for society. The traditional role of interpreter and creator, and how creation and artistic statement are shaped by necessity. From Mark Mann's Fundamental Questions. Next page, from elsewhere. The gossip, like the witch, was persecuted as if she were an outlaw, instead of at the heart of her community. Her superpower is hanging out, giving, sharing, spending and wasting time together. She provides material for this activity. She brings news, warnings, and information. Worlds appear from her big mouth. Hannah Black on gossip and resistance. On the next page, we have a screenshot of what I think is a Facebook post. There's a profile picture in the corner. It says Kate Holden shared a video. 5 February 2017. And the text reads, I'm sharing this post from the Banff Center, not to necessarily promote a program, but to open a dialogue about growing pains, accountability, consent, and how openness and discussion around failure may have led to a different genesis of this program. I was one of 10 mid-career artists who participated in the Creative Gesture program last year. I was also one of 5 who either chose to leave the program or was dismissed for not consenting to drastic shifts in artistic practice towards the end of our 3rd week. These shifts were imposed by the leaders of the program just 4 days before the scheduled public presentation. What saddens and angers me most is how the difficult experience that we went through as participants was swept under the rug by the organizers. I see no value in hiding our growing pains. We hinder our possibilities to change, shift, and grow as an artistic community if we gloss over the falls, bumps, and bruises. This current proposal for the Creative Gesture is certainly different from what was presented to us last year. It reads as an opportunity that would suit a young emerging artist who wants to be taught repertoire, experience what it's like to work in a large hierarchical company-like structure, to put on a shiny show at the end of 4 weeks. I might have been interested when I was 21. I find it unfortunate that the effort at artistic development for established professional dance artists has, in my opinion, disappeared from the mandate. Mid-career dance artist development is what made last year's call to dancers unique. And while we certainly failed on many levels at our efforts of working together, it's unfortunate that goal has been abandoned. There may be value in this new edition of the dance residency, but I don't believe that it is actually contemporary in its structure or thinking. There's currently an article being written for the Dance Current as a follow-up to one that was previously published. It will hopefully share a fuller perspective of what happened last summer. Without laying blame, I can say that there was a lot of miscommunication, conflicting goals, conflicting assumptions, and confusing leadership. I was essentially dismissed early from what was framed as a development opportunity. We were initially encouraged to question, rethink, and build something other, figure it out together, collaboratively. It was a real struggle to do so while wading through the massive structure and misinformation that had been put in place before we became a part of the conversation. When what we were doing didn't produce a desired product, the script was completely changed on us. When I didn't consent to the new parameters, I was dismissed. I personally found the experience to be very damaging, and it initially had me struggling with feelings of guilt, shame, and confusion. I suspect that if I had stayed, my sense of damage would have been worse. To any young dancers that do apply to this program, remember that you are autonomous. You have a right to say no, even within the constructs of a large operation. Your health as a human being and artistic spirit are your own responsibility, and they are not mutually exclusive. As one of only 2 Canadians in the mid-career stream, I feel a responsibility to bring this experience into public conversation. The Banff Centre is a Canadian treasure that we need to protect and cultivate in a way that actually serves us as artists. From elsewhere. Abramovich's call for artists was, as the LA Times quoted, for, quote, strong, silent types. I am certainly strong, but I am not comfortable with silence in this situation. I refuse to be a silent artist regarding issues that affect my livelihood and the culture of my practice. There are issues too important to be silenced, and I just happen to be the one to speak out and to break that silence. I spoke out in response to ethics, not artistic material or content, and I know that I am not the only one who feels the way I do. from An Open Letter to Artists by Sarah Wookie.